Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays, doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinking bros. That is Hims.com/drinking bros for personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/drinking bros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. Let me tell you about Moo.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Gonna get you 20% off your first order over there. Did you know there's an online cannabis store that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Whether that's the magic mind gummies for deep work and creativity, the PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for the action at every turn, and touch into a full body experience over there. Listen, I love the night-night gummies, as I call them, the sleepy time gummies. I take, right now they're 15 milligrams. I cut it in half, and I take half a night. 15 minutes, dude, you are gone. I've never had anything like it. 15, 20 minutes tops, and I'm out. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, gas stations, whatever. Mood's functional gummies, though, combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. Plus, Texas Governor Abbott just said it was all right to get these shipped through the mail. He vetoed the bill down here. Thank God. So order from mood.com today. Use that promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off your first order. Everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the promo code Drinking Bros. So head on over to mood.com. Find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Don't forget to use the promo code Drinking Bros when you check out to save 20% off your first order.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Wow. It is It is a great day to have a great day. And we're honored to have the one, the only Alex Jones on the show. Alex, welcome to Conspiracy Truth Finders.
I'm very pleased to be here. Very familiar with all your big work in international television. I'm just here to get some Killcliff.
You got it. All right. So Dan Holloway, Dan and Alex, here's the thing. Alex, I'm best known as the guy that produced Sports Science and was host of Sports Science for ESPN, but I produced a lot of science, a lot of paranormal programming for the Sci-Fi Channel and a bunch of cable networks. And I always told people, look, when you work on a quote conspiracy show, it will do nothing to further your belief in the conspiracy because you get to dive in and you go, oh, that video is all, totally full of shit and there is nothing there. However, we started this site, Conspiracy Truth Finders, literally as like a joke in like January. It was just kind of we'll do some conspiracy stuff. Now, I don't even know what the definition of the word conspiracy is because it feels like all the news, it would be classified to me as a quote conspiracy. So Alex, tell us, what is a conspiracy now?
Well, I've seen this statement on the internet. Everybody's Alex Jones now because right. Everybody, whether they're a conservative, whether they're a Democrat, whether they're a libertarian, whether they're black, white, everybody's questioning things. And now folks know that it's important to question things. In the old days, chupacabras, okay, that's a myth. The Casper the Ghost, Bermuda Triangle, that's a lot of bad storms, planes crashing, Bigfoot. Those are things people always focus on that end up to never basically come up with the goods. But if you're talking about your television spying on you and watching you, or human-animal hybrid clones, or secret medical cabals controlling the COVID-19 response, and all of these real things, people are seeing centralized control and censorship all at the same time. And so now there is what I would call a huge awakening happening right now. And so a real conspiracy is just like what the FBI talks about, where they charge tens of thousands of groups and organizations and individuals every year with conspiracy to commit this, conspiracy to commit that. It just means two or more people together in an organized operation to deceive somebody else. Well, of course, conspiracy is real. It was right after Kennedy got killed in Dallas, just north of where we sit, where I sit here in Austin, Texas, Dilley Plaza in 1963, and people saw other shooters. They saw the guns go off. They knew what happened. They didn't buy into it. So the CIA put out the term conspiracy theorist and said, don't respond to their argument. You can't debate it. This has been declassified in the Senator Frank Church committee hearings in the late 70s. They came out and said, we've got to call it conspiracy theory because we can't debate it, to just say, don't look at that. Don't debate it. So conspiracy theory is things you're not supposed to look at. Conspiracy theory just means the public getting educated and informing itself. Does that mean that all the conspiracy theories are true? No, I'd say about 95% of them are BS because it's just people questioning. It's a hypothesis. It's really scientific method. And then a lot of folks are kind of rediscovering reality and not just receiving from the nightly news what the supposed reality is. They're saying there may be something else other than the received on high Moses with the tablets reality. So it's thinking for yourself what conspiracy theory is.
Right. Dan, the biggest conspiracy right now to me, in my mind, is censorship.
Right.
Period. Like the number of things, and Alex, there's nobody better than you to even talk about this. The number of videos that are just being taken down for initially, it sounded like there was some political agenda that was going on. Now, Z, I think pull up that YouTube message that we got where YouTube just pulled a video down of a show that I did that was like a comedy show that was just looking at clips, just funny viral clips. And we get the YouTube notice that says, hey, your video has been taken down because it doesn't adhere to our community guidelines. And the community guidelines, if you go to them, make no sense. They're impossible to follow. And I'm really, really worried that this is happening not in the background, but in the forefront. And hardly anyone is standing up throwing a fit about this. They're just kind of letting it happen.
Well, certainly not in mainstream media. I mean, It's a legal trick to make very broad and undetermined laws and then apply them selectively, right? That's the way you do it. Instead of just decriminalizing or legalizing something, what you can do is leave it as is and stop enforcing it, but then enforce it when you need to for some other reason.
Selective enforcement.
Yeah, I mean that's messed up, by the way. It's totally unethical to do that. The way that in particular over the last week or so that the last 2 weeks, I would guess.
The White House got censored. The Senate got censored.
The way the entire media has handled the Hunter Biden situation is incredible to me. I've never seen anything like this before in my life. I mean, Adam Schiff is the chair of the House Intelligence Committee is telling people that the intelligence community told him that this is all a Russian hoax, while the intelligence community goes on live television and says, no, we didn't say that.
Exactly. We're being gaslit. Before seeing. So here's what's going on. You were asking Mr. Kilcliff what the whole boil down here is.
Mr. Kilcliff, hold on. It's Mr. Brinkus.
I know, but Herr Kilcliff. No, I know who you are, but I'm promoting Kilcliff here. Seriously.
That's right.
This isn't about conservative. It's not about liberal. It's not about Christian. It's not about Jew. It's not about Muslim. It's not about atheist. It's about power. If you've got Pootie Pie with hundreds of billions of views, and all of Hollywood doesn't have that, they're jealous. So they're going to come in and call him a Nazi and demonetize him and take control of him because they want to own him like an old record company would own some star that made him $100 million. They only paid him $500,000. What you've done with your conspiracy show is be popular. And so they want you to know that they're the gatekeeper. So they have the you in YouTube. But as all of these independent people, low budget, just talking about funny things, having more power than the old brokers do, they're coming in and saying, there was a Wall Street Journal article, that's how I knew all this was coming, about 6 months before I got platformed, about 3 years ago. And they came out and they said, don't worry. And this was actually News Corp had met with Disney and met with Google and met with Apple. And they said, it was a huge subscription article. I went and paid the money. I don't usually subscribe to the Wall Street Journal. And there was a derivative article online about it saying, you know, get ready, kook Alex Jones, YouTube's about to ban you, which was true. Mm. And they say in this 30-something page article, our newspapers and our TV and Hollywood's no longer popular. TV's no longer popular because there's so much competition online. We have to go in and pick a few people to ban first. And when the public doesn't stand up for them, the old first they came for this and they came for that, I wasn't that, so I didn't stand up. They actually said it in there. They said, oh, don't worry, our stock will be way up in the next few years. This is to be a big billionaire investors. We're going to start with Alex Jones. They even said my name in the article. And once no one stands up for him, we're then going to ban everybody else incrementally. And the few that are good will make them work for us for nothing. And so the internet will basically be like Netflix and you'll have to pay and that's it. And there'll be this weird underground thing, but we'll have all the big names, so it won't matter. So that's their attempt to challenge competition and this renaissance and things they can't deal with, things they can't handle, is just to end it. They're like, oh God, we thought the internet would be a surveillance tool for our corporations to control people. Instead, it's become this revolution that blew us up. So let's just end it as we know it. But let's start out saying we're in right-wing hate speech. And then let's expand the door from that to everybody with these algorithms to dial everyone else back 96%. That's the algorithm level, until they submit and come on knees bended, you know, heads bended to us, and then we'll make them our kept bitches. So this is pimp game getting rolled out. And I said, I'm not rolling with your pimp game. I'm not going to go with your system. I'm like an American. I'm going to go start my own thing. And I believe the more you suppress, the more folks will realize it and go away from you. And right now that's starting to happen. And so they're in big, big trouble, and Congress is getting ready to trust bust their ass.
Dan, remember we were talking a couple days ago just about QAnon. And let's move to QAnon, because I think Alex and it can help us unravel this. Everybody knows that Q essentially is this accumulation of every kind of theory that's out there. And it seemed very easy to dismiss it initially. And now the fact that it's being banned, the fact that it keeps growing, it is don't throw me in the briar patch kind of stuff. It makes me think, and Alex, I want to put out the craziest theory yet. Is Q actually a left-wing device
operative
that they started long ago to somehow goad people into being part labeled as Q, like, is it possible that QAnon is actually Kaiser Sose?
It's, well, I mean, that's what's happening with Russia right now, right? The intelligence reports we have are that they're trying to start these rumors about, like, the Proud Boys, for example. I think that was Iran that did that one. But they were trying to – they were sending emails faking being the Proud Boys and threatening people if they didn't vote for Trump. And the reason was because they wanted to make Trump look bad. So, I mean, if you were to start something like QAnon, you could – You know immediately that a lot of people are going to start listening because people are so dissatisfied with how things are going and they're very distrustful of government. That's an American quality, to be distrustful of government. How hard is it to throw down a few things that are true and then a bunch of wacky conspiracy theories to make it all look wild after that? You know what I mean? So it's you're almost.
Well, I actually know who started QAnon.
Right. We're not going to get into any names.
No. I mean, I can tell you the whole compendium.
Yeah, let's do
tell
it.
Tell it.
I don't know how much time we have. A few minutes on this briefing here?
Yeah, speak directly into that microphone. It's a little echoey in there.
I know. It's really echoey in this room here.
It is.
Yeah, I'm going to whisper really quiet. How's that sound?
It's ASMR now.
Like I'm talking to a girl. Oh,
he's so got good. The best whisper voice ever.
No. It's just, oh, my God. That's a beautiful little mini skirt right there. Just unzip it right there. All right.
Easy.
No. I know. It's a family show. Let's get serious here. Okay, I got in a lot of trouble exposing the WikiLeaks stuff and the Satanism and the pedophilia, and they really went after me hard. And so another group inside the CIA, Naval Intelligence, and the Trump White House in early 2017 said, Jones isn't able to do this anymore and damage him with the real stuff. We need to have cutouts on 4chan that are able to come out and do this. Now, it wasn't Trump officially did this. It was the people under him. It wasn't even an official thing of the White House. You know, these different factions, they launched QAnon to be able to put out a lot of the stuff that was true, to be able to damage that faction of the deep state that was trying to block Trump being able to actually become president. So it was a very patriotic thing. Within a month of it, it got taken away from them by bigger, more powerful disinfo engines, and then became this leftist disinfo arm that they farmed out to other foreign countries and places so they could get around campaign finance law. And then became a very, very bad thing. But because Q became the new icon for conspiracy theory, which means questioning, doesn't matter if it had been good first, then co-opted, it then became this symbol of resistance and the symbol of the public waking up and resisting. So then the White House went from, you know, blocking it and ending tweets that promoted it. And, you know, the sheriff's department in Florida, you know, stands up there with the Pence and has Q stuff. And he deletes the tweet. To the White House just saying, we don't want to insult our supporters and alienate them because they've adopted this. And so the word is, okay, you need to be Q, do original research, vet your info, be an American activist, be a human activist, but don't believe unspecified, unverified, random stuff you read.
Right.
As if it comes from a god, because the deep state corrupt elements did want to be able to use that to have guys attack the Hoover Dam or drive a train into a hospital boat. And these people really think they're fighting tyranny. You know, it's hard to go, you know, wind up an average American. It's easy to wind up a jihadi. But it was a way to get Americans to believe that they were fighting a deep state when really they were being manipulated and directed. So there was an attempted deep state terrorist angle to Q that didn't farm out. We became aware of it. It got killed and shut down. And then it just grassroots became synonymous with resistance. So it became a positive thing. And so right now it becomes a deal of basically beware. Like, is anonymous good? Well, it's a guy wearing a Guy Fawkes mask. Some things anonymous say are good. Some are bad. It's different people. It's sticking your hand down a rattlesnake hole. There might be nothing in there. There might be a rattlesnake. There might be a diamond. But again, that's how the whole Q thing is seen. That's what it is. And it certainly is a foreign multinational disinfo op at one level trying to use it, but they've lost the battle for it. And now it's blown up in their face and is now a tool of mass awakening.
Right. And it would be, I mean, it's like any other platform, right? You could say, you could call 4chan intrinsically bad because there's a lot of bad stuff on it, but it's just a website. It's how people use it. And once Q became popular, it became a standard for anybody that wanted to pump any kind of right-wing information, right? Whether it's real, whether it's fake, or whether it's an attempt by some organization to like intentionally send out bad information, right?
Exactly. But I mean, I can tell you, the creators of it let me know about how they launched it, what they did. I confirmed it. I was up in D.C. and I got briefed on it. And then later they're like, well, don't attack it now. You know, it's been decided by people above us that – and I don't just follow the orders from on top. I'm an American citizen, independent. I don't follow orders from anybody. But with Trump, it's so simpatico how I figure something out right when they're figuring it out. Sometimes they listen to us, we listen to them. It's just good people. It's like we're always just assessing. The terrain is always changing in this situation.
I think it's interesting you brought up Guy Fawkes, because when you were talking about Q almost as a figure that we should emulate, for example, not necessarily Q themselves, but think that way. Like the idea of free thought and looking for your own answers does kind of remind me of what like the movie V for Vendetta, right? Where he wasn't trying to take anything over. As a matter of fact, he was going to sacrifice himself the whole time, and he always knew it. But everybody else became him. And by became him, it doesn't mean they became the man that he was. It means they learned how to think instead of what to think. And that's the most important thing that's happening in this country right now, is people are finally waking up and trying to figure out. I don't think a lot of people have figured it out, but a lot of people are trying to figure out how to think now instead of what to think.
And early on, good guys tried to do it to get out info so they wouldn't get in trouble for the info. Mm. Then it got co-opted, but then people thought it was bad, and so did I. But then smarter people than me said, no, look, it's teaching people how to think. There's going to be problems. Let it play out. And now it's been hugely successful.
Yeah. One thing. So essentially, by me saying, and Alex, you obviously know this world and know lots of people in this world, just from afar, as I'm using my brain, I'm saying there's no way all of the Q information is correct. And it definitely has been co-opted, and it definitely has been something that's been, polluted, so to speak, by, you know, alternative points of view. And it's very hard to sift through it all.
It's all the Q priest. It's all the Q priest. It's the people claiming, oh, don't listen to anyone but me. As one goes, we all go. There's that whole cult aspect to it. Exactly. And so that's what we do, is we become Q because it tried to become us. We take it over with our own research, our own reality.
Right. There's 200 denominations of Christianity in the United States alone. From one guy in the desert 2,000 years ago, there's now 200 just versions of that belief.
That's the first time I've heard someone say guy in a desert.
I mean, look,
but there's no doubt. I mean,
Jesus was a Bedouin carpenter.
He was an attempt at a new religion. It was not started as that. It was started as a way to leak info. Right. It got co-opted saying, hey, let's make it a leftist religion to manipulate and make the conservatives a joke. But then Google and Facebook, all you had to know about Q being bad was Facebook, Google, Twitter all promoted it and let it go crazy for 2 years. Mm. But that blew up in their face too. Now they're like, oh God, this didn't work. As soon as we figured out it was actually good, we're like, okay, turn it back on.
Yeah.
And they go, oh no, turn it back off.
It's actually really funny too, because now everybody's paying so much attention. Like with this Hunter Biden story, for example, the estimate is it got at least 2x the amount of attention it would have had they just ignored it the whole time. Right.
Biggest trends out there on every front because they try to suppress it.
Yeah. And it's these days, especially now, I would say even late 2019, this would not have been the case, but as it stands right now in October of 2020, people are not just believing things they hear anymore.
Well, let me tell you,
which is great, by the way. I mean, I know that's not what big government wants. I know it's not what social media wants. They don't want people thinking for themselves.
But it's healthy.
But it is great for our society in general.
It totally. You know, I feel like 2020, if we were to sum it up in a painting, it's this. If you guys can see the output,
oh, it's an Escher. Escher, yeah.
MC Escher. I love his work.
Yeah. I mean, it's Escher. It's like the illusion. It's like, which way is up, which way is down.
And though it's hard to look at, it makes you smarter looking at it.
Right. Because it forces you to not just believe what you see at first.
Well, it's uncomfortable to, I am 39 years old. It is uncomfortable for me. If I just found out some new truth, it would be very, very uncomfortable for me to jettison the last almost 40 years of my life and believe this new thing. That is an uncomfortable process for pretty much anybody. And especially when you tie in, maybe your dad believed in it. Right. And that's a thing. That's a way you connected, or maybe it's religion. And that's obviously hard to get rid of. Maybe it's some other impetus that you believe that thing for that's sentimental to you at this point. That's difficult for human beings just to say, you know what, this is wrong now. And I think that's our biggest challenge right now. People are finally realizing that they've been duped. And now they're trying to figure out how to think. And I feel like they're all doing it individually right now. We're all at the bottom of a well. And there's a couple of us that have figured out how to build up and get out of there. And hopefully more people will start listening to stuff like this. Because it's not about the conspiracy theory itself. It's not about the individual event.
It's about them themselves thinking.
It's about you thinking. Right. Because a critical thinker, the more critical thinkers we have, the better everybody is. There's no question about that.
I find that a fantastic point of view. And I wholly subscribe to that's the movement that's happening is free thought. Now, let's just extrapolate out, though. If we're all starting to question, is that real or not? How do we land on a spot that is real? I mean, do we become so fractured that you have this version of reality and that version of reality? How do we, as a society...
I think it becomes this. You have to look at the real tools you have in this universe, the third dimension, and look at the different schools of thought historically in society, decide which ones you like, which things you think, and then you have to decide which worldview you want to build and manifest. And then it'll be that worldview, as more people see what's successful, that will join that worldview, and like nanotech or a colony creature will build it. Because that's what the globalists do. They're trying to get us to follow blueprints that aren't pro-human. They're trying to create all these false systems. But I mean, really, the American system, the free market, capitalism, human will, the Renaissance. But you've got to have competition. You've got to have rights of passion. You've got to have violent sports. You've got to have, humans have to have all these things.
Yep.
Or we become little cowardly wimps that are controlled by somebody else. People that are powerful and strong aren't oppressors usually. They actually become liberators. It's the little creepy big tech controllers that actually were little nerds and think everybody's out to get them. So they've got to prove they're dominant. And so they actually try to end the debate and end competition and end the whole game so they can control it. And that's really satanic.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how I love what you were saying about we're going to have to decide which school of thought. I think now more than ever, though, do you think that it's possible that we become so fractured in what that picture looks like that like right now people are kind of like commingling and everyone's like, yeah, you know, I want to live in a reality where all views are allowed to be expressed and, you know, you can debate it back and forth, but ultimately you wind up on something that becomes.
And that's classical liberalism. Yep. And so these fascist controllers who call themselves liberal want to silence you because you're the system that works, classical liberalism. So they call themselves liberal when they're really fascist and authoritarians and they come and silence you. So we have to recognize that they're the enemy, they're the controllers, and reject them whole hog.
Yeah, it's like Antifa. Like, what are you? Like, if I say Antifa is a bunch of dum-dums, they're like, what are you? So does that mean you're fascist? Because they're just anti-fascist. Like, they name themselves anti-fascist. That doesn't mean that's what they're doing.
It's all a mental game.
Yeah, that's the dumbest reasoning I've ever heard in my life when people say that.
It's like gasoline calling himself beer. You drink it kills you. It's like just because you label yourself. Yeah.
It's so stupid. It's incredibly stupid.
So dumb.
To your point, John,
it's magical thinking. They just think if they name it. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it is. That's exactly what it is. And if I think we are very tribal, right? Human beings are. We have to be because gathering in packs was the best way in our early DNA to protect ourselves. And it's the best way now to make sure we protect ourselves from ourselves is to gather in the biggest groups possible. Find the most in common with each other we can and make those things happen and promote conscious joy, which is what Sam Harris always talks about.
No, it's true. You have to decide what works best and then say, we allow people to have their freedom, but not a freedom to take our freedom.
Right.
And we have to organize. And when we do that, it's unlimited because it's individualism to the collective, not communism where a central group enslaves a collective. It's the opposite. It's freedom where we agree on this, like a man and a woman coming together. We build the future.
Right.
Yeah. So there's been a tremendous amount of disinformation and also a tremendous amount of truth that I'm sure has been sort of put out there. The Hunter Biden email scandal and the Hillary Clinton scandal. There was one particular email that surfaced about Killcliffe, a project codenamed Killcliffe. Alex, I don't know if you've seen this. Everybody can find it on conspiracytruthfinders.com. Z, pull up this memo because Alex has never seen it. It talks about it's from Langley Covert Ops, which I don't even know if that's a real place, but Langley Covert Ops. And it talks about as a response to potential threats to the U.S., the government essentially said, we need to create a liquid, clean energy source that will sustain the human population indefinitely. And its code name is Killcliffe. Now, the idea of creating one thing that people need that they could survive indefinitely, I don't know. I'm not sure how you debate that would be a bad idea. The question is this true?
You know, I don't know about that, but I certainly want to try it to see how this goes. I know that we need water and nutrients to live. Mm-hmm. I know with the whole COVID thing, they're like, oh, you don't need vitamin D, you don't need vitamin C, you don't need zinc. Now even Fauci, the god, says we need that. So,
by the way, speaking of Fauci, people have been lighting Trump up since the debate about saying that there's going to be a vaccine before the end of the year, and then Fauci comes out today and says that testing would be done before the end of November. And they're saying the same thing, and they're getting two separate responses. You see the problem there? I mean, if
Trump's bad, but then Fauci's good, the same thing.
If this is water and I apply heat to it, it boils at a certain temperature every single time, regardless of where the heat comes from. Heat is heat. Truth is truth. Somebody says the truth. It doesn't matter if they offend you with it.
So Trump's lying about the vaccine ready in November,
but Fauci's telling
the truth. Fauci's telling the truth.
Yeah, it's again selective stuff. But with Killcliffe, I mean that's. I talk about it all the time. There's something called cellular transport technology. It's a new tech that a lot of hydration companies are using. And basically what it does is reshapes water molecules such that they bond more efficiently to your bloodstream. It's a water molecule looks like a Mickey Mouse head, right? It bonds more efficiently. This is like Liquid IV, one of our sponsors, does that. You could, if you're able to do the same thing with nutrients, change the shape of the nutrient molecule, whatever it is, electrolytes, protein, whatever it is, that it would bond more efficiently with your bloodstream.
Deliverability.
Yes. Yep. Deliverability is the phrase. Yes. That would pretty much, we wouldn't have to farm anymore. We wouldn't have to do any of this stuff, right? Yeah. All this land that we're using for farming.
We can boost the nutrient.
And it would be clean nutrients too.
And that's why they want a global government system of serfdom, because all these new technologies are what they call disruptive technologies, and it'll actually block them keeping us poor. Remember, we're supposed to have robots running it all. Yeah. Exactly. They call it disruptive technology that we're not going to be working 7 days a week. But so they want to set up a system where we have to work all the time and we're replaced by robots.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? What was interesting to me is that in all the sort of, you know, paranormal shows that we were doing with sci-fi, you ran across a lot of people who were preparing for the end of the world. And I'm like, oh my God, these people are nuts. Like, you know, if the world ends and I'm left, you know, living next to this guy, I'm going to wish I was dead anyway. So I'm good. But as it turns out, those people kind of are having the last laugh, because they're like, you know what? The world might end. Something crazy might happen. And the idea to me, and Alex, I listen to your show all the time, and you're constantly promoting stuff that I'm like, you know what? I should run out and get that, because who knows what's going to happen. That idea of, can you take care of your own first in order to help your neighbor, is one where clean energy sources, and there it was mentioned in the debate, having a clean energy source for your body is a great idea. I don't think this Killcliffe memo is probably real, but the idea is real.
For sure. That Absolutely. Science makes sense to
me. Well, I mean, if we have that science, it's going to be the biggest thing since the Model T.
Yeah. I mean, it's the idea that, I mean, one of the biggest problems in the United States
it's
right
electricity.
Now, and like the phrase first world country is antiquated. Obviously, we're not in the Cold War anymore, but we are a very wealthy country. And still, we have food deserts all over the United States. And a food desert is a place where people for a reasonable price can't easily go into their local grocery store and get fresh food, produce, meat, whatever it is.
Well, if you look at what minority communities are eating, there's like no real stores there. Of course, white communities too, all the communities. But let me go back to what you were just saying. They all say, oh, the UN needs billions of dollars. There's tens of millions are starving to death because of COVID-19. No, the lockdown is causing hundreds of times more problems than what this virus did. I'm not denying the virus doesn't kill some people that are vitamin and nutrient deficient. And so it is the lockdown that's causing the depopulation. It is the lockdown that is causing the huge plunge. And so when we talk about the end of the world, what about an artificial end of the world? We always think of an asteroid, or we always think of tectonic plates, or the sun blowing up, or aliens come and kill us. But what if we had like a world elite that want to get rid of most of the people because they're tired of taking care of us? They think we eat too much food. Maybe we are hurting the earth. Okay, but they made the decision to bring in a world government, a carbon tax, to slowly implode the third world, to slowly implode the rest of the planet, and then use that crisis of scarcity to bring in UN control as the arbiter of the crisis they created. Well, it turns out the Davos Group admits COVID's the great reset, and it's cover for exactly that, and this is their takeover. So this is the organized end of the world as we know it right now.
Right. I that theory in December of 2019, that theory sounds as crazy as it could possibly be. Today, you have to stop and say, it doesn't seem like it's red versus blue. It seems like we're in a no win. It seems like there's got to be some other force. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the Bilderberg group. I don't know who it is, if it's a small group of people or...
If they're good at it, they don't have a name. Like the Chinese Secret Intelligence Organization, their version of the CIA/NSA has no name. There's no name for that organization, and they do that on purpose because China knows they don't give a fuck if people get butthurt that the organization doesn't have a name, it doesn't report, because they'll just kill you if you talk shit, right?
Right.
I assume that whatever, and look, I don't necessarily believe in some cabal that's controlling the whole world, but I absolutely believe that rich and powerful people hide or sit in rooms together. Yeah,
a bunch of factions.
There's a bunch that are competing, and it's anytime you have a government, whether it's, I mean, capitalism is pretty robust against this threat just because it gives so many individual liberties, but any other system of government, you're going to get yourself in an oligarchy at some point. And even in capitalism, it's pretty likely as people get richer and richer, they'll be able to buy more
capitalists
influence.
Will decide to become oligarchs,
right? Exactly.
They'll start acting like dictators. Yeah.
So I mean, it's if it can happen in one country, why would it not be able to happen globally? Like that's, I know I'm begging the question there, but that doesn't make any sense. What's the difference between
those two things?
That's totally
it. You had powerful Western forces that went and put the communist Chinese in power to then use the Chinese as slave labor to build this world government. And that's what they're doing. So it's not just China we're up against. It's these powerful anti-human forces. And so I don't believe in flying saucers and aliens. I don't cover things I can't prove. But if you look at Wall Street Journal headlines, you know, looking forward to the end of humanity and all these shows about the end of humanity and how we're bad, it looks like an alien force, interdimensionally, spiritually, whatever you want to call it, is literally killing, stealing, and destroying, and telling these globalists and all these elites, if you get rid of the public, you save the earth, and then I will give you life extension technology. You will give up your human body and merge with silicone. That's what Elon Musk admits the elites are into. Yeah. That's what they talk about in Dreaming of the End of Humanity articles and in the Wall Street Journal, NBC. So if you just look at as a scientist and say, this is a group saying humans suck, we need to phase them out. Everything they do is lowering our fertility, making us dumber, attacking our strengths, attacking our upper mobility, attacking our scientific development, trying to create a new dark age, trying to cut our power sources off. Then what comes out of the computer is top analysis, most probable prime analysis, outside alien force attempting destruction of human civilization. And then you extrapolate, they're trying to overwrite all the genetic code of all the plants and animals. They're trying to create a post-carbon system, saying a carbon-based planet is evil and bad for the Earth. They say it's a silicon system. So the final equation comes out then, most accurate probable assessment is anti-carbon-based life form creating silicon life form overwrite. And that's what comes out of the machine is alien silicon takeover taking place.
Now, I think the most important topic that's going on in the world right this second is voter fraud. And here's what I mean by that. We, as citizens of the good old US of A with Uncle Sam, we, you know, have seen you cast a ballot, you're voting for a candidate, they count up the ballots, the person who got the most ballots and votes, they end up winning. But we all know if you dive into the Constitution, it wasn't even set up like that. It was set up of, I cast a ballot for president and I'm really just voicing an opinion in most states for an electorate to cast their ballot. But in many cases, that person could change their mind and there's not written of like, and then there are consequences. That person can just say, you know what? You voted for candidate X. I want candidate Y. That can happen. I need to know from you, Alex, how are we going to all feel like this was a fair election?
Well, I'm a believer in the Electoral College because the founders believed in a little d democracy, a constitutional republic, because in a pure democracy, as they had in places like Athens, Greece, 2,300 years ago, if 51% of people, which was men voting, with black stones and white stones in a bucket, said, kill somebody, they kill you. They routinely would vote just to kill somebody. Mm. Many of the greatest scientific brains, many of the philosophers said something that made them mad and they'd make them drink hemlock or throw them off a building or throw them off a cliff. And so that's pure democracy. It's very, very dangerous. It's the howl of the mob. So in our republic, you have separations of powers And until we have the 17th Amendment in 1913, when we got the income tax and the private Federal Reserve, the legislatures that we elected, they would then elect a senator who was a creature of the state, because states had to have control of the federal government, versus popularly elected House members who were creatures of the federal government and could actually make their own decisions. So when they got rid of that, it made senators their own little kings and increased federal power. And so our federal system was basically broken December 23rd, 1913 with the 17th Amendment. And so you can look at it and people can say, well, where's my popular vote? This isn't real. Well, back then they had like a state like New York that had three times the population of Virginia. They put in a little 5% point deal in there where, okay, we'll let the other states that are less populous even out with the most populous states. So you end up with a Hunger Games scenario where certain regions dominate the rest of the country. So that's why it's been looked at by statesmen and experts around the world as the most perfect system you could possibly produce. It also ties down dictators and tyrants, where they're always fighting within the branches of government and never actually getting control, so that when one gets too much control, the other branches will come after it. It's a very smart system.
Now that system, and I don't disagree with that. When you have news stories that are talking about 10,000 ballots were found in a creek and mailboxes are being stolen or whatever it is, whether or not those stories are true or not, it certainly is sowing people for, hey, you better look at this with one incredulously raised eyebrow.
You are totally right that there is, when you put 80 million ballots out that have never been done before randomly to gum up the system claiming it's for COVID, the Democrats and Hillary and John Podesta are in the New York Times saying, we're going to contest the election. We sent these out to create confusion because they know Trump's going to win an internal poll. So you're absolutely right. Now it's going to totally discredit the country even more. That's the globalist model, is break the country, discredit it, and then say, oh, well, if Trump lost the popular vote again, how is he president? Then the Democrats have a plan. Not saying they're going to implement it. This is even the New York Times, when Podesta had a war game with the New York Times, and he's still the top Democrat when it comes to war gaming, to have Western liberal states secede, forming their own country and having their own inauguration for Joe Biden. Pelosi then went on TV three months ago, and said that is indeed their plan. So they are planning in like a few short days from now, a week from now, to try to extend it out. Oh, let us count these ballots. Elections don't end that day, they end in a few weeks, and then use that confusion to see if they can actually break the country up and use the confusion as the actual Civil War detonation mechanism. So America now faces, in its 240 plus year history, its greatest threat, in my view.
Yeah, you know, it's you have to understand what it means to be a significant amount of votes in America, right? So we have 150 million or so people that are probably going to vote, give or take. But the 2016 election was won in three states with 80,000 votes. That's it. 80,000 votes swung that election in the right places. And you can thank Cambridge Analytica for that, because they're really good at what they do. 80,000 votes. So if we're finding ballots, 10,000 ballots, doesn't seem like a lot. And if there's 150 million ballots out there, 10,000 doesn't sound like a lot. That's 1/8 of the amount that it takes to swing the election, just by one guy throwing away 10,000 ballots. So, you know, obviously we need to pay a lot more attention to what's going on here, right?
Well, that's it. They're going to hit the key battleground areas, as you said. And if you look at Philadelphia, or if you look at certain Broward County, Florida, or you look at Detroit, Michigan, that's where you're going to see the hanky-panky. Hmm.
So the phrase faithless elector is one that you have. I mean, it has not been incorporated much as of late in the news cycle, but if you just look at the faithless elector history, there have been 165 instances of faithlessness as of 2016. 63 of them occurred in 1872, because Horace Greeley died after Election Day, but before the Electoral College convened. So does the idea of a faithless elector, I mean, in Alex, if we're to apply sort of the idea of, oh my, you know, there's aliens are behind, you know, disinformation, or some other external force are behind it, what stops someone from saying, all right, I'm going to go to Pennsylvania, I'm going to get all the electors, I'm going to give them each $100 million, because I'm an oligarch that can print currency, and I'm going to change the whole world?
Yeah, you definitely do that. I mean, look, we talk about what I just said, which is that Cambridge Analytica targeting very specific counties inside of swing states. That's how Trump really won the election last in 2016. It's yep. brilliant digital marketing. So why would you not be able to reverse engineer that? And instead of doing that, if you're the left or whomever, anybody that wants to influence the election, and you see, well, we can't actually win in that district, but what we can do is have some faithless electors in another district in another swing state and win it that way. Why would you not do
that? Well, let me tell you what happened 4 years ago.
Go on.
Nancy Pelosi's daughter spearheaded a faithless elector operation.
Yep.
And she was going around trying to get the electors to not, whatever it is, January 6th or 7th, whatever the date is, they're supposed to have a vote, and then you have the inauguration on January 20th, 2017. It'll be 2021 this time, January 2021, coming up, I guess, 3 months. And I came out and said, she's a traitor. It's horrible. She went on Fox News and goes, Alex Jones is threatening to kill me. I want him arrested. I mean, seriously. Pelosi called for an FBI investigation. I didn't say kill her. I said, she's a traitor. She's trying to go to the electors and offering them stuff. This is illegal. She needs to be stopped. And she got so pissed about it. So yes, they tried it then. They're going to try it again this time. But I think they realize it's hard to get folks to, you know, go against that. Plus it's probably illegal to pay them money. So they're just going to instead say Trump really lost when Trump really won. So that's the big, here's the deal. There's 79 days after November 3rd. Until the inauguration. So the real fight starts with what I call the 79 days of hell, the day after the election.
Right. Yeah. So let's move to that. Let's go to security. We were talking about voter fraud. Let's now move to security, because there is a briefing, this FBI briefing, when I think it was, you know, right at almost 8 o'clock or something on Wednesday or Thursday. It was on Thursday, right before the, no, it's on Wednesday. And they come out and they just say, yep, Iran and Russia have been trying to meddle in the election. I always say that, I'm like, the bigger news story is that foreign countries are not trying to meddle. That would be the bigger story.
Of course they are.
Right. Of course they're of course everyone's trying to mess up. But my question is, why did that press conference take place? Like, what did it achieve? What ball was it moving, you know, down the field? Because I'm like, this was nothing specific. They're saying something that's pretty general. And I couldn't decide, well, which side does this benefit?
They're only laying that out to say that Trump was benefited as a cover. Just like they said, white supremacism is the number one threat in America, not Antifa or not communist China. Ray and all of them are bought and paid for by the establishment. Some of the biggest mistakes Trump's made. And they're just preparing the way in a contested election to say that Trump was doing something wrong.
It just seems like, to me, Dan, did it seem weird to you? It just seemed like a very weird press conference to me.
Yeah, it was weird. Maybe it was just like a CYA thing, like we have to get it out there just to say we did it. But there didn't seem to be a whole lot of follow-up on any of that stuff. Well, you know what I mean? That's a pretty big deal.
Right. And that's a massive story that CNN didn't cover and MSNBC didn't cover. They didn't go to the news conference. Anytime that I see some big breaking story, and I'm just like going to each news site and saying, well, Fox is carrying it. Fox News carries it, but CNN isn't.
Well, if you look at the Vault 7 stuff that came out, well, the leaks from Snowden, which they've not denied.
Yep.
You can go say anybody you wanted attacked. Somebody could hack my computer and say that I hacked you. Of course, Iran's always launching cyber attacks. Of course, Russia's launching cyber attacks. But if you look at it, the United States and China make up more than all the other countries combined. And China is hammering the U.S., so the reason the FBI came out last week was one day after the NSA director came out. And so we want to warn the American people. China is attacking all our infrastructure, including your private bank accounts and your private identities. They're stealing your identities. They're stealing your driver's license numbers. Protect your identities. This is an NSA warning to the American people. Well, you can't have, oh my gosh, China, that's the big sugar daddy of the Democrats, being in trouble when the NSA came out. So the deep state went, what are we going to do? Send out Director Ray. Say it's the Iranians who can't even tie their shoelaces. Let's say it's the Russians. That's why that happened. Remember, the other story was NSA warns Americans China is attacking infrastructure. That was a cover one day after for that.
Yeah. That, All right, let's move to our thoughts on, so what happens? I mean, I'm usually pretty strong at saying, okay, here's the landscape. Here's where we are. Here's what I think is going to happen. And up to this point, I think I've been pretty consistent. Like in March, I was on the radio doing lots of Fox radio stuff. And I said, this virus, the fatality rate is way lower than anybody is saying. Cause that was the 2 million people are going to die. And I said at that time, I'm like, if this virus were super potent, there would be tens of millions of bodies stacked up in China somewhere, because that would be hardly a blip in their population. And that's not the case. So it's the fatality rate's not going to be that high, but it'll be used for political purposes. But now that we are where we are, Alex, what happens?
That's a very good point. I'm multitasking with a cheeseburger. I apologize.
That's fine. Listen. No.
Listen.
You're a red-blooded American.
I'm a red-blooded fat ass. No, but seriously. What's going to happen? It's all hell's going to break loose. America is under globalist attack because they think we're weak. They think they have the Democrat states, the blue states, the blue cities. They have the EU. They have Hollywood. They have the major corporations. And they're not going to get in trouble for making a move on America. So they're going to do it even if they fail. And so we see America right now under a multinational attack during an election to discredit a popularly elected president and turn Americans against each other for destabilization. Because if America collapses, the mega corporations can come in and buy us up for pennies on the dollar, just like they've done to every other nation on earth. And so that's what they're attempting right now, is a hostile takeover of America, just like they did communist China at the end of World War II in 1947, 1949, when they put Mao Zedong in power. So the same criminals that have oppressed China for 70 years are now taking control of America. We need to reject it, and President Trump's fighting it.
Yeah. And is it possible for us for that not to be the eventuality? Obviously, the answer is yes. It's entirely possible. If everybody woke up and said, hey, you've been living in a fog, so let's just get on the same page. Let's elect somebody. Let's not riot. Let's not, you know, let's agree to disagree and move on. That's how we end up preventing it.
If Americans had any common sense, we're about to find out if they do.
Right.
It should be 98% votes for Trump. And because if you have your own self-interest just for free market, here's the deal. Mainstream corporate news is like, the dollar's dead, we're overvalued, America sucks, it's all over. MSNBC, CNBC. If we're way overvalued compared to the Chinese yuan in the end, of course we're overvalued. It's about what currency ends up on top. People trying to kill our currency are like pouring gasoline on themselves and us, trying to ask us to strike the match. These are insane people. Of course it's overvalued. Of course it's a Ponzi scheme. Of course it's got problems. But whoever is left standing when the music stops is screwed. The left literally preaches that they hope Xi Jinping, quote, crushes Trump to save America. That's a Washington Post headline. And they're literally dreaming of the end of the dollar when it means war on the street, 10-year depression, and hell. I mean, these people are crazy because they've had it so good so long in a country that people protected them in, that they now think, oh, well, there's this other choice of going against it. I'm going to be part of the ruling class. No, you're going to be a totally idiotic, starving serf. So right. We better pick Trump.
If not, I mean, it's Dan.
If not, no more cheeseburger.
Yeah, take a bite of your cheeseburger, Alex. Dan, what do you think happens?
It's a good question, man. I don't know. I really don't know anymore. I don't know if the American people, I know the idea of America is up to it. I don't know if the American people are right now. I feel like I run into so many people who, for whatever reason, out of ignorance or fear, laziness, cognitive dissonance, whatever it is, are just completely incapable of being honest with themselves and honest with the people around them. So, you know, while I'm hopeful, generally speaking, I do worry, because some of the things that we've seen this year, I never thought I would see. I never thought I would see a 99.97 survivability rate reacted to with shutting down 500,000 businesses, 60% right. of which will never reopen. I never thought I would see something like that. And to me, when I, you know, there's the phrase where there's smoke, there's fire. When I see somebody trying to attack the institution of capitalism, and more specifically attack people's ability to earn their own way and be entrepreneurs and business owners and things like that,
that's called slavery.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's how communism starts right there, buddy. And we're not on board with that. I genuinely hope that Americans wake up and are smart enough to see that. A lot of them think it's Russian disinformation right now because it's more comfortable to believe that than it is to agree with someone like Trump, who is kind of an asshole. Let's be real. Like, he's kind of a dick. So it's easier for them to call him a dick and dismiss. It's a traditional ad hominem attack, right? You have to wonder what kind of human being, like, what are the qualities of a person? Forget about any demographic information, their age, their race, or their political leanings, or any of that. Forget about all that. Tell me about the quality of the person that you want leading 340, 350 million people.
You want somebody that has a sense of justice and freedom and isn't afraid of special interest and who understands multivariate levels of economic systems to be able to try to pragmatically develop a system that lifts all boats with a rising tide. And that can also project that mission and that onto the people to create a unified field theory of human development and projection.
So, Alex, there are a couple stories that have happened that I like to do the math, as they say, on, okay, does this make sense for this to be happening now? First of all, the Pentagon releasing this footage of, quote, where are we calling them now? Unidentified aerial phenomenon, right? Which I don't want to burst anyone's bubble, but I'm telling you, this is not alien technology. I've done countless hours on UFOs.
You're saying it's little green men. It's drones and holograms, right?
Correct. It's easily explained. It's a drone, right? And the drone is reflecting light and it's on radar and whatever. Like, it's not for people to sit back and be like, that's alien. That's a massive leap, because the little green man traveling in a tin can is a Buck Rogers story. It never made any sense, and it doesn't, because it's not true. Now, with that being said, interdimensional beings, we are the aliens, they're already here. That kind of stuff is like, well, maybe that's true. I mean, I don't know, but little green men flying around. So the footage being released during a pandemic seemed like a very, like, you don't you think someone would say bad timing? Like, this is just,
well, well, here's the thing. Trump is really smart and he's a good guy, but he is 74. He ordered them like 2 years ago to release all the JFK stuff and they wouldn't do it. He got mad and said, release more. The bureaucracy is like telling your kids clean up the room, they won't do it. And so Trump's ordered them to release a lot of the UFO stuff. So this is all part of, like, look, sir, we released this gun pod footage. And all it is just a missile they're chasing or some drone.
Right.
Look, it turned like that. Well, yeah, it's a damn drone. And so, yeah, no, that's all rope-a-doping the public. And it's all just Pentagon PR stuff.
So then I say, okay, the timing on that is really weird, because we definitely don't need to be talking about are UFOs real during a pandemic. Second of all, now when we go to the riot stories and all these cities that are rioting and everything that's happening, we know that in Portland there are over 100 nights of violence that were happening. But I want to step back and I just say, okay, well, how many people were actually involved with that? Like, actually throwing a rock or firing a gun or doing something awful? How many people? Obviously, the answer is not millions. The answer is not hundreds of thousands. It's a small group of who knows what. Were those images, though, covered as though the world was ending? Is that Clockwork Orange? Is that, hey, we're going to condition you that when you see this happening, it's not that weird. This stuff like this just happens.
Well, we know that George Soros is funding those operations. And when experts go on Fox News and say it's George Soros, they censor him, saying you're not allowed to say George Soros. George Soros brags he overthrew Ukraine using Antifa-style forces. He brags he's funding BLM and the Antifa groups. And so they pick blue cities and blue states where they are allowed to go burn things down because police are told to stand down. And the Democrats tried to trigger a larger riot and overthrow nationwide, and it failed. I know people could go, oh, look, this was done by Trump to make him look good, law and order. No, the Democrats have been successful, this multinational group, overthrowing Egypt, overthrowing Ukraine, almost overthrowing Syria, overthrowing all these other countries, like Libya, I mean, did over 20 countries. And Soros goes on CNN's Fareed Zakaria and says, I got $5 billion from Obama to overthrow Ukraine. You can pull that up. And so they've done this playbook saying, oh, police violence in Ukraine 7 years ago. And they use that to have riots and then shooting police and burning things. And then the government falls. And so it's worked so many other places that they're trying it here. The difference is we are so spread out. We are so diverse. Our cities are so separate from each other that Americans just look at it and see right through it. But I mean, Soros is an almost 90-year-old general, and he was a formidable guy, you know, 20 years ago. But I mean, these guys don't, thank God they've got Pelosi and they've got Biden and they've got Soros, because there's powerful groups behind them and consortiums. But let me tell you, those guys, I don't know people that have been in the meetings. They call up and call the shots. I mean, it's like a James Bond villain on the Skype, and it's Soros going, "You're going to do this, or I gotta get you," or, you know, and so people are like, "Oh, sir, we don't think that's a good idea," but they're still following ideas of the average person's probably about 80. So we're fighting 80-year-old brains right now, but they have all the money and power, so it's almost more frightening.
Right? Is it like Tom Cruise's character in Tropic Thunder?
More? Yeah. I wish. Les Grossman. That's one of the best. Grossman. He should have done a whole movie just with that character. That would have been great.
Just with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing.
I love
amazing.
Tropic Thunder. I haven't watched that in a long time. I need to watch.
Oh my God, dude. That great Tom Cruise, the Les Grossman thing was just hilarious. It's hilarious. And maybe that, you know, the thing is that idea of like, you know, someone, you know, Soros zooms in or whatever, and he's working the technology. I always envision it has got to be like Dr. Evil. Like the tech doesn't work. He's frozen on the screen. He's got mute on the microphone trying to like tell people to do horrible things, but he can't get the message through.
That came out in the WikiLeaks where they're like, he's going to give us $50 million. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Just kiss his ass. I mean, it's in there. And they're like, literally, like, this is like 6 years ago. They're like, yes, sir. Or 5 years ago. Yes, sir. Whatever you say, you go, do this, do that. My son is in command. His son, Alexander Soros, literally couldn't manage his way out of a wet paper bag. He is now the top deep guy. Gets a couple billion a year to launch these attacks worldwide, and he's literally in charge. And again, no one will tell him, dude, you've never been in the Boy Scouts. I mean, you've never done any job, nothing. You're just the rich favorite kid of this dick.
So, right.
It is interesting to see how much power you can amass just by being good at chaos, right? I mean, that's almost like a supervillain.
That's what a lot of top experts have come out and said. These big corporations and these crisis groups, they don't have to be smart and build things. They just create a crisis, have media say they're the solution.
Yeah.
So it's media saying the chaos creator is the hero. Then they get the money, the power, the control. And that's the whole equation. You want the whole equation? That's it right there. That's the whole answer to everything right there.
Now it seems like it's just this endless loop. If you were to say, and Dan, you love just saying who benefits.
Yeah.
Right. If you were to say, well, who's actually behind all the craziness? I mean, Dan, what you said about, would you ever think that in this world, the 99.97 survivability rate for a virus would shut down the country? If it's China, right, that brought the virus here and they're like, all right, here we go. We're going to try to shut it down. You know, they're sitting there going, man, that was easy.
China's been reopened for 6 months, and we're never going to reopen.
No, if this was a test, we failed. There's no question about that.
No question.
What you're describing, by the way, is Hegelian dialectic. So it's an old idea where you create a problem so that you can solve it. Right. That's what you're talking about. This stuff is thousands of years old. It's nothing new.
It's not Machiavellian, studied in China and by the CIA and by MI6 and the Russians. It's dialectics.
Yeah.
This is what they follow, the philosopher Hegel. And it's about 200 years old, which is, he already codified common sense stuff, but problem, reaction, solution.
Yeah. I mean, and it's been around. He's, if you look at his writing, you'll find traces of it in all this quote unquote secret societies throughout the world for the last 6,000 years or so. And it's basically my opinion. Like you say, John, there's always a reason. There's always an excuse for things. And qui bono is a good way. Who benefits is a good way. Assuming, I mean, like the Sherlock Holmes doctrine, eliminate all impossibilities and whatever's left has to be true, regardless of how unlikely it seems. Right. That's a good way to apply the science.
That's what I do.
I just
look at it like, who stands to benefit? Yeah. What can happen? And
it's a good way to apply.
It's always right there. You always find it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good way to apply the scientific method. With some of this stuff lately, I mean, it just seems like, I feel like a lot of people got really rich. And you see it in a micro level in Hollywood. They get so rich and so their information is so siloed at that point, and it's just an echo chamber, and they genuinely feel like they have the right answer and they should do whatever they can at any cost to make sure everybody else gets that answer. I feel like apply that from a low-level millionaire to an absolute billionaire who has world leaders calling them on the phone, on their private cell phone and stuff like that. The level at which that affects your ego has to be immense. And I think some of these people aren't willing or capable of dealing with that in a rational human being
way.
They
become James Bond super villains.
Yeah, and they think they're trying to save the, I mean, how many movies have we seen about some dude that thinks he's trying to save the world and he ends everything? You know what I mean? And it, that's what it is. You don't know.
Well, that's like the first Kingsman is very accurate. Mm.
With Sam Jackson?
Yeah, Samuel L. Jackson. He's got all the elites together. He's going to release this electromagnetic wave to the phones, make everybody kill themselves to save the earth. That's a metaphor for really what globalism is. And really, that's an excuse for them to rule and control everybody and play God. Mm. They're not actually trying to save the earth.
All right, so the Great Awakening is going to be the thing that saves us. That's just my, and by Great Awakening, I mean, we're having conversations like this. People are like, wake up. You know,
well, the globalists say that the post-human world is here. They say that we're a skull. They say that we're an archive of the past. We're a fossil. And I say that we are everybody that came before us today and in the future. And I say that humanity isn't going to give up so easily. Instead of just taking how they program us and control us, humans change their environment. We have to resist this whole globalist blueprint and discover what the blueprint is and then realize that we can build something better.
Part of the Great Awakening to me, if you guys remember, the big news story right before the pandemic, the big sports story was Houston Astros are stealing signs.
Right.
Right. That was like a major topic. And
are you saying that the Astros are responsible for COVID?
I am saying that the only logical solution is it's the Astros.
Yeah.
It's the Astros. Yeah. That's who's behind all this.
Carlos what's funny Correa. About the, Bergman.
Yeah, here's what's funny. Right. Remember who was That's it? Who was the congressman on, you know, September 10th, 2001? Gary Conley? Is that his name?
Condon.
Condon.
The guy that Condon. Got murdered by the Clinton family, allegedly? Condon. Well, that was Condon.
The intern. Remember the intern murder?
Condon. He was the he was a congressman from Oklahoma, I believe.
Yeah, you're like 9/10. We have a headline: Gary Condon might have murdered intern, and then 9/11 happens, and no one ever talks about it ever again. But here's my point. My point on the Houston Astros. I said, isn't the bigger story? And this is people were going nuts. They're like, I can't believe it. I can't believe they would try to steal signs. I'm like, isn't a bigger headline Houston Astros did not try to steal signs? Yeah. Like, who's not trying to steal signs?
Stealing signs is part of the game for sure.
So in this COVID thing where it's like, you know what? COVID is awful. And listen, like President Trump said, one death is too many. Listen, people die and if it's terrible, it's awful. However, when most of the people who are dying from this are over the age of 70 and old people die and people with compromised immune systems.
Sure. Most of it, 94% is comorbidity.
Right. It's comorbidity. The headline would be, the much bigger headline is old people don't die from COVID. Like, that would be a massive story.
Well, not one baby's died. They're like, oh, the baby died. Like, oh, they had a heart attack. They had no heart. They had no brain. They had their intestines on their outside.
And there were the schools things too. They were trying to reshut down the schools. I don't know why. Maybe it's just fear, like giving them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they're afraid and they don't understand things.
They want a great reset. It's all in operation. Well,
I just mean the average liberal person in America right now. But from the leadership position, you can't afford to be that wrong about things and continue.
Well, exactly.
To be
They've been. They said 2.5 million, then 2.2 million, then 2 million, then 1.7 million. No, it's 220 something thousand. Most of those died of something else. They admit.
Yeah,
motorcycle accidents.
Yeah. And at the debate, Biden this last time said that another 200,000 are going to die before the end of the year.
He said 200 million have died.
Well, he said that guy doesn't know where he is.
Said it too.
But at the
also
but,
thought
yeah,
was,
yeah, she did.
Trump
yeah,
was Abraham did. Lincoln.
Yeah. Yeah.
And certainly. Hitler. He said we're with Hitler.
Yeah. And yeah, it's, exactly. But like the left's position right now is that there could be 200,000 more deaths before. So I'm not sure I understand this. We've had 220 over the last 9 months, basically, right? Somehow in the next 2 months we're going to duplicate that same number.
No, you're right. They did say that.
Like, yeah, but
we did say on top
that.
Of it.
But where does that number come from?
It's made up.
Like, they just make this shit up.
It's completely made up.
Right?
7,000
My guess is what they did was they had a focus group and they asked people, like, how many more deaths would piss you off? And they took that number and
totally fucking agree.
Because remember Don Lemon, like, 4 Tuesdays ago, he said, we need to start talking about this rioting bullshit because it's affecting our polling. And by our, he meant the Democrats. I don't know why a new guy is talking about our in reference to a political
what's
party.
Behind the scenes and what's on air.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. But let's expand on that.
But they didn't change their position. Biden and Harris, for example, didn't come out strongly against all the violence until after that poll came out. And until after actually.
And then they totally flipped. Before limited. They said it was good.
Yeah.
Right.
First they said violence was good, then they said it didn't exist.
I mean, Harris said it should continue until the election and maybe after. That's what she said.
But getting back to your point, since you bring it up, when I saw Biden say repeatedly 200 million died, I thought, okay, he's just out of his mind. Harris goes around and says it too. Right. And then she routinely doesn't know where she is. So these people are weird, man.
Yeah. It does make you wonder. I mean, look, campaigning, a nationwide campaign can be taxing, but honestly, you don't hear Trump making data mistakes.
No.
Like, he says a lot of stupid shit because he's kind of an asshole, let's be real. But he doesn't make data mistakes. He doesn't say 200 million when he means 200,000, ever. That's not something that he does. When he says stupid stuff, it's because he thinks it's funny, he's joking, and people take him seriously. Like, yeah, I guess he just didn't inject bleach. Why not?
Like, just
he
case.
Responds. When people ask him stupid-ass questions, Trump has a bad habit of giving them a stupid-ass, smart-ass remark. And that's funny. And I actually think it's really funny, but you're the president. And that's one of the things that people use against him on a regular basis.
I hear you. All I know is he's 74. I don't have half his energy.
I know.
I know.
If you can't do the campaign, I've said this before, the campaign for president, people like to say that Hillary was, what was the phrase they used? The single most qualified candidate for president in American history, I believe is the phrase they used to use. Now, that's ridiculous because nobody is qualified to be president, really. Until you get there. And the campaign being as difficult as it is, that's the test.
Well, that's a good point. Everybody always asks me, what's the answer? And I go, I'm in over my head, and so is the president.
Yeah.
So is everybody. And as soon as you get your in over your head, then you got a chance to get better. Mm. But if you're just – these people everywhere are so arrogant. Like, they'll have one little success, and they think everything else has the answer. Those are losers. I'm always thinking, I'm losing. I'm failing. I've got to get better. I've got to figure out the answers. I've got to know the angles. I've got to watch my ass. I can't take this for granted. That's why I'm successful. Other people, literally, you run into them. They just literally go, oh, I made one big business deal. I got a Corvette or I got this trophy wife. I'm a winner now. And those are idiots. Stay hungry.
Just in case everybody's like, you know what, Alex Jones is crazy. He's making claims about, Kamala Harris. She would never say that 200 million Americans die. Here's the headline of as confused as Joe Biden, Kamala Harris claims 220 million Americans have died from COVID.
Yeah, I watched that video, by the way. I think it's funny looking on the screen right now if you guys are watching home. It says this article was written in Tehran. So this is an Iranian article. So you had like the American media is not publishing this at all.
Right.
Do you see the problem with that? That the first search result isn't because
that's a good point. By them not publishing, they're giving foreign groups more power.
Yeah.
Because there's that vacuum.
Yep.
Totally.
It's so stupid. I mean, look, news media in this country has been in trouble for a couple of years.
You win by getting ahead of things, not hiding.
Yeah. The more information you release, and I think actually CNN, they're actually starting to pivot right now. You've seen them over the last two weeks.
I've seen a little more truth.
And their CEO is going to get fired probably next week, my opinion, just from people I know that work over there and some articles I've read.
I have started to see a pivot, which is not as deceptive.
What pivot have you seen? Because I haven't. I'm
seeing more and more truth. It's still like 90% lies, but it's like not as over the top. And there's actual reality statements here and there, which I saw as them just thinking they have no credibility. Not that Zucker's getting fired.
Here's what I've seen. So Jake Tapper had, this is about a week and a half or 2 weeks ago, he had Biden's campaign manager on, and he was hammering her. Like, you guys keep saying that this Supreme Court appointment is somehow unconstitutional. It is definitely not. What you're saying is that, and he's like really going
hard.
And
they just called out Biden on saying he never said ban fracking.
Yeah, there's so much video of that. That's stupid. I don't know why you would deny something that's on video. Then later in the week, Wolf Blitzer had Nancy Pelosi on, and he was challenging her on the idea, like, hey, why the president and the Republican Senate offered up this plan. It's $1.8 trillion, blah, blah, blah. It's less than what you wanted, but it's pretty close. And it's also like, people need this money now. Why aren't you doing it? And she like went off on him.
Blew up on him.
She lost
She's
her
like,
mind.
They've not given us a plan. They're like, really? It's pretty much the same plan you've got. I
mean, yeah. And she like Wolf Blitzer was like, no, we're just like, I want to know for the American people why you aren't doing this. And she called CNN. She said they were apologists for the Republicans. Now, how far left do you have to be to think CNN is working for Republicans?
Well, here's what I'm saying. Trump's going to win in a landslide, bigger than last time, except the Democrats are not going to concede. They have a plan for secession and a plan to create a huge crisis. So the 79 days of hell, or over the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it could go all the way through the inauguration. Pelosi already has the bill ready to go to the states with the 20th Amendment. If no president's been chosen because of faithless electors or ballots not counted, by January 19th, they go to a House vote on the 20th, and the House of Representatives moves the states, and then they vote to who the new president is.
Well, here, it not to burst your CNN as being more truthful bubble, but this is the headline of Jake Tapper declares Hunter Biden claims too disgusting to repeat on CNN. The right wing is going crazy.
So, notice they don't deny it. It's too disgusting.
Yeah.
Exactly. They don't say that is not true. There's like, that's gross. That Epstein stuff, ew.
Yeah.
And Ghislaine Maxwell just came out, the pimp of Epstein. It's in the court transcripts now in the depositions that Bill Clinton was at the island, at Epstein Island. We already have all these witnesses. And that's what Infowars.com, Newswars.com, we're not allowed on these other big platforms, Band.video, that's what we're covering. That's where people can find all that information that you're not supposed to see.
Yeah, it's interesting. It is really interesting. You know, another thing that happened, by the way, I think this is really this is something that I talk about on my new show, American Party Podcast, a lot, which is just a bipartisan look at things. John King, who has not been very kind to Trump and his career at CNN, and John King's career at CNN, Dana Bash was kind of recounting how ACB had the Republican senator had asked her what notes she was taking, and she just held up a blank. We've all seen the memes at this point, right? We've all seen that. She wasn't taking notes. She was just coming off the top of her head with all this information. And he's like, wow, that's really impressive. And Dana Bash repeated that on CNN. Yeah, that's really impressive. And John King kind of stopped her and said, you know, you're right. And if you turn back the clock to further away from this election, or if you had a different president in office right now, ACB would receive 70% of the votes, no question. And it wouldn't even be a controversy. So if that is the case, this is what I was talking about before with the boiling water analogy. The truth is the truth. It doesn't matter who nominated that person. If you're going to do something that's bad, if you were going to vote 70% of people would have voted for her, and you're not going to do that just because you don't like the president, we know two things. We know, one, that she was probably good for the country because 70% of people agreed that she was. 70% of people who understand the law because they're senators and attorneys. And then we understand that because of their political party and because of the guy that's in the office right now, they did something that is not good for America for their political party. That is not patriotism. That's not duty. It's not service. It's bullshit.
Well, that's right. If you try to come up with a name for what the mainstream media is now, they're PR hacks for whoever pays them. And everybody knows that now. Whereas organizations and groups are just open about what they stand for. Everybody goes, okay, well, I may not agree with everything, but I get you're just being straight up. The idea that they're not partisan towards the money they're given is the biggest fraud of all. And that's why there's an exodus away from them.
All right, listen, Alex, cannot thank you enough for joining me and Dan on Conspiracy Truth Finders. I think that, look, your voice is ridiculously important. Whether or not people agree with you, it's a really important voice to at least consider. Like, give Alex a listen. Like, think about it. See if what he's saying jives with you, because we need more voices of people saying, think about this. I think that's important. And Alex, I want you to leave us with, I know the suppression aspect from you in your show and InfoWars was something that was stunning. So you've gone, you know, you now have your own place where people can't suppress you. Just how did you wind up there? Because I want everybody, make sure everybody subscribes.
Well, I just want to be clear. We knew from the internal memos and corporate reports that were out that we were just chosen because I'd said a lot of stuff out of context and a lot of stuff that was wild. And I've said a lot of things that are wrong. Because when you talk 40 hours a week, you're going to say something.
Everybody is wrong until they're right.
Exactly.
Like everything you've ever learned, you learned from some other person, and you were wrong about that thing the entire time in your life before you're eventually right about it. We gotta make sure we normalize the idea of being able to be wrong in public and then shift to being right and not get called fake or flip-flopper
for it. And that's why they don't want people to have experience in rites of passage, because you learn to become competent, learn that you're wrong.
Yeah.
Millennials, a lot of liberals, they can't be told they're wrong. That's what's frightening. But I made a lot of mistakes, but I was overall had a good heart. But they just chose me to demonize me. So when folks didn't stand up for me, they could cancel everybody. We have to cancel culture, but we have band.video, infowars.com, newswars.com. We have our own podcast, own video feeds, audio feeds, all of them. But really, I'm not worried about me. Quite frankly, we held in there. They told us, you're canceled, you're over, you're done. We said, no, we're not. We're stronger than ever. We knew all this censorship was coming. And as the total iron curtain of suppression comes in, I'm actually frightened by how much support we've got, because these huge attacks, because used to half the public thought I was a joke. I am a joke sometimes. But now that this attack was so big, it boomeranged. We stayed in the fight. And now what we're seeing is like 90% positive response all over the place, huge, just exponential growth curve. And it actually, now I've got to really get myself together and be serious, because, you know, I'm on the air a lot. I'm serious sometimes. Sometimes I screw around and make jokes. They're going to take that joke out of context. And, you know, put it out there. So it's definitely a coming of age. And so I'm just honored to be here. And I want to thank you both for, you know, being here today. It was great being on your podcast, my friend. Admire your work and all your big TV productions.
Awesome. God bless you guys. Everybody, fight for the truth.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.